In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 3, at verse 5, my message on today's broadcast, entitled, The Joy of Working Together. Paul says, Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe? Even as the Lord gave to every man, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own labor, his own reward, according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Let me repeat, we are laborers together with God. The joy of working together. Have you looked up the word work in the dictionary lately? Webster says that work is any continued exertion or activity, whether physical or mental. He goes on to define it as that upon which labor is expended. Webster says to work is to labor or toil. He concludes by saying that work is to be employed in a trade or business. The greatest of all businesses is the business of God. Just think, we are in business with God. We are laborers together with Him. Is it not a remarkable thing that God and you are partners? There is an unwritten law that is universal. It is this: if a man does not work, he receives no reward. The farmer knows that if he does not sow a crop, he cannot expect to reap a harvest. A northerner was passing through the state of Georgia on one occasion. He saw a farmer sitting on the front porch of a run-down, dilapidated farmhouse. The gutters were rusted out. The weeds were taking over. The paint was peeling off. The gates were off the hinges. And the farmer sat barefoot and unkempt on the porch. The stranger said to him, Well, how's your cotton crop coming along? The farmer answered, Ain't got none. The stranger asked, Did you plant any? The farmer said, Nope. Afraid of the boll weevils. The stranger asked, Well, how's your corn? The farmer replied, Didn't plant none. Afraid ain't gonna be no rain. The stranger said, Well, how are your potatoes? To which the farmer answered, Ain't got none. Afraid of the tater bugs. The stranger said, Well, sir, what did you plant? And the farmer answered, Nothing. I just played it safe. And my friends, you know, a lot of Christians today are simply playing it safe. They're going by the same philosophy. And this is a dangerous philosophy. In fact, in light of my text, such a philosophy is unthinkable. Paul says we are laborers together. I'm talking to you about the joy of working together. I read about another farmer who had a different philosophy altogether. It seems that he whispered to his horse, Roses are red, violets are blue. Horses that don't work are made into glue. Let me share with you three reasons why I believe we should labor together. Number one, we should labor together because there is a work to be done. The very fact that there is a job to do is incentive enough for you to be at work. Work is essential to your well-being. It is necessary to your success. Incidentally, the only place success comes before work is in the dictionary. We have the greatest task on earth. We are in the business of evangelizing the world. And this is the most important business in which you could be engaged today. Have you read lately in the book of James? Well, I know that's not one of the most favorite books of many Christians, because James uses a little four-letter word that many people like to shy away from. It's spelled W-O-R-K, and no less than 18 times James uses the word work or one of its derivatives in his five chapters. Someone has observed that there are two classes of people in every church, the shirkers and the workers. Could I ask you, in which class are you? To which class do you belong? Do you work or do you shirk? James says in his first chapter at verse 22, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." I read about a preacher who once was buying a horse. He asked the owner, "Will this horse work?" To which the owner replied, "Yes, he'll work anywhere you put him, doing anything you put him to doing, as well as any horse can do it." The preacher stepped back, scratched his head, and said, "Well, my, my, I wish he were a member of my church." Beloved, the church needs more than ever before men and women and members who will work. Everyone admires a worker. Even a mosquito gets a pat on the back when he starts to work. The poet put it like this: "Don't always fret about your work and the rewards that are few. Remember the mighty oak was once a nut like you." Abraham Lincoln once said, and I quote, "Any man who does not do more work than he's paid for is not worth what he gets." We are working for the Lord. It's the most important work. It's a rewarding work. It's an eternal work. It is a divinely ordained work. And you know, working for the Lord will cure a lot of things. Are you worrying too much these days? Get out and work for Christ. You'll overcome some of that worry. Are you disappointed? Go out and work for the Lord. Are your dreams shattered? Do some work for Christ and for the church. If sorrow has overtaken you, if you're burdened down, if you're unhappy, if you're frustrated, work for Christ. And no matter what ails you, if you'll work for the Lord, you'll overcome many of the difficulties of your life. And the best place to work is in the vineyard of the Lord. Jesus said, "The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few." Your task as a Christian, your task as a believer, as a child of God, as a church member, is a sacred, holy, and divinely ordained task. Therefore, you should never look lightly upon it. You should never do anything but give your best to Christ. The poet put it this way: "If a task is once begun, never leave it till it's done. Be the labor great or small, do it well or not at all." Say, here's something for you to think about. Most of the footprints on the sands of time were made by work shoes. John Wesley, the great Methodist preacher, traveled over 250,000 miles, not in an air-conditioned car, but on horseback. He preached 40,000 sermons. He wrote 400 books. He spoke 10 languages. At age 83, he became disgusted with himself that he couldn't write more than 15 hours a day. And when he reached 86, he was ashamed that he could preach only 2 sermons a day. And by the time he was 90, he despaired of the fact that he found it necessary to stay in bed until at least 5:30 in the morning. This was a man who knew what it meant to work. We are laborers together. The church needs your labor. Christ needs your hands, your feet, your lips, your mind, your heart to work for Him. This ought to be our prayer. "Now I get me up to work. I pray the Lord I may not shirk. If I should die before tonight, I pray the Lord my work's all right." In the second place, we should labor together because we must give an account of our deeds to the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 5:10 it is written, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in our body according to what we have done, whether it be good or bad." Daniel Webster once said, "The most profound thought ever to pass my mind is my accountability to God." Let me ask you a question. If you had to face the Lord today on the records you made last week, would the scales of your labor balance in His sight? I remind you, you must give an account for how you spend your money. It's not what you'd do if riches were your lot. It's what you're doing with a dollar and a quarter you've got You must give an account of how you use your talent. It's not what you'd do if you were a star. It's what you're doing as you are. You must give an account of how you spend your time. I've only just a minute, just 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it. Didn't seek it, didn't choose it. I must suffer if I lose it. Give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. Someone has observed that every church member should be like a good watch. Have an open face, busy hands, made of pure gold, well-regulated, and full of good works. Let us then labor together for the Master. The field is large. The need is great. The call is urgent. The work is holy. And the time is now. And that brings me to my next thought. We should labor together for the Master because time is running out. Wake up, my friend. It's much later than you think it is. It's just a minute until midnight. It's almost time for the clock of God to strike, for this age to end, and then it will all be over. Jesus said, "Work while it is yet day, for the night cometh when no man can work." The day of grace is far spent. The night of gloom, the night of darkness, the night of judgment is fast moving on. And before long, it will be too late for you to labor for Christ. It will be too late for you to be saved. It will be too late for you to go to church. You best do it today. Listen to the words of the poet who said, "The clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell just when the hand will stop at late or early hour. Now is the only time you own. Live, love, toil with will. Place not faith in tomorrow, for the clock may then be still." My friend, I admonish you, if you have a prayer to pray, pray it, because time is running out. If you have a song to sing, sing it, because time is running out. If you have a class to teach, teach it, because time is running out. If you have a soul to win, win that soul to Christ, because your time is running out. If you have a kind deed to do or a kind word to speak, do it now. Speak it now, because time is running out. If you have a dime to give to the cause of Christ, give it now, because time is running out. The Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." The Bible says, "Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time." What time do you have? How much time do you have left? Have you any assurance of the closing of this day? No, you do not. My friend, your time is running out. And I trust that you will right now give your heart and life to Christ. Dedicate yourself to the task of winning souls. Bring your family to Sunday school and church today. This may well be the last Sunday you'll ever spend together on earth. I have this footnote and I shall be through. We should labor together because a crown awaits all who are faithful to labor for the Lord. Paul said, "I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." Do you love the appearing of Christ? Does the thought of the coming of Christ thrill your heart? If not, I trust that right now by your radio, pray the sinner's prayer, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." Open the door of your heart. Let Jesus Christ come in, even now, and may the Lord bless you as you do. Again, we invite you to come and share the services of Worth Baptist Church today at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. Until next Lord's Day at this same time, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.